Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Sure.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with myself and my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer. We have so much to talk about today. I barely know where to start, but of course I do know where we're going to start. Besides all my harassment on Facebook, I do want to let my listeners know I'm no longer allowed to post on Facebook if you're in a group or share in a group until October 3rd. I'm in Facebook jail. Somebody, whether it's the Homeland Security or whoever's listening to the show that doesn't pay, I wouldn't mind if the government listened to my show, Jim, if they actually had a paid subscription. I'm going to keep telling the truth until I can't. And that's the way it goes. So if I disappear from Facebook, you know what? It'll be less work for Mother. That's the way I see it. So good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good morning, Maria. I'm simply overwhelmed by these developments, some of which are absolutely stunning. And I know we're going to begin with the NFL, but would you believe that the U.S. is deliberately targeting Russian troops in Syria?
Yes.
And Russia has identified U.S. special forces at ISIS locations supporting ISIS. I mean, World War III is right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we try to warn people, you know, listen, everybody said you vote for Hillary, you're voting for war. Okay, everybody believed Trump. He was going to end Obama's wars in the Middle East. Yesterday, they announced another 3,500 troops for Afghanistan. And he also eased up on the law that Obama was forced to do, limiting or putting rules on drone strikes. So I don't see any de-escalation in war.
No, it's breaking the heart of those who supported him, including myself, on the ground that he was going to take us out of these endless wars. In fact, a new study from Boston University and the University of Minnesota shows that was the crucial, the pivotal issue, not the 43 excuses Hillary's been trotting out, but the fact that she was perceived as more of a hawk and he is more of a dove. And it was that kind of judgment. According to their analysis, it was these counties that had suffered casualties in the Middle East and the Rust Belt states that perceived Trump as less likely to continue these wars. And the whole election hinged on that one consideration, Maria.
Well, I think a lot of it was, you know, his fans also wanted that wall. Let's not forget that wall, which now I understand is going to be see-through.
Yeah, no. I'm not talking about all the reasons people might have had to go one way or another, but rather that this was the issue that made the difference in the counties that made the election go for Trump. It was their attitude toward the Middle East. Hillary is such an obvious hawk. She was instrumental in slaughter of Libya, the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, the transfer of weapons from Benghazi to the Syrian rebels, and the murder of our ambassador there who was opposed to it. I mean, she was unable to escape the fact that she is more warlike than Trump was perceived to be at the time. Mm-hmm. People were casting their votes, and that's why I find it so disillusioning that, as you're observing, he's increased our troops in Afghanistan. He is apparently moving against the Russians in Syria, which is completely insane. He's attacking the Iran nuclear deal, which is absolutely without any merit, meaning the nuclear deal is absolutely perfect, considering especially that Iran wasn't seeking to develop nuclear weapons anyway. And then all this hysteria toward North Korea, Maria. I mean, talk about lunatic. Lasers mounted on satellites that can take out any North Korean missile that were launched toward the United States. I am convinced we've already taken out several of them on the launching pad. And in fact, Kim has actually offered to abandon his pursuit of nuclear weapons and freeze his missiles if only we would stop acting so bellicose. And the Obama administration rejected it instantly. The Trump administration has rejected it instantly. You don't hear a word about this on the mainstream media. And what does Trump do? He's now flying B-52s north of the DMZ. I can't think of anything more lunatic than that. Actually, B-1 bombers north of the DMZ.
Well, I'm sure you saw that one of the foreign ministers in North Korea said that what he had to say at the UN was a declaration of war, and that they now feel that they can shoot down any of our bombers, whether we're in their airspace or not.
Well, that's not an unreasonable interpretation, frankly, because Trump has gone after North Korea's trading partners. That's historically been regarded as an act of war. And all of this belligerency and talking about annihilating North Korea at the United Nations, Maria, it's a principle of the UN that genocide is forbidden, absolutely. And one nation may attack another only under two circumstances, when they have approval of the Security Council or when they face an imminent threat, neither of which applies here. This is all exaggerated. I am embarrassed. And when Trump goes before the United Nations and makes these lunatic assertions, I mean, for God's sake, I supported for the guy, Maria, because I believed, as so many others did, that he actually was going to reduce our involvement in wars abroad. And here he's about to initiate another one. I mean, this is not what we wanted from this guy.
Right. Well, I hate to say it, Jim, but you know what? I said this to a Republican, a Trump supporter at my gym this week. He actually just comes out and tells me he's a Trump supporter watching the news. And I look at that and I'm like, how can you still support him? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Maria, we were confronted with a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
I agree. Frankly, and that's what I told this guy. I said, listen, they gave us the choice of cancer or AIDS. I said, I said to him, you do understand that we don't have a two-party system, I said to him. I said, $700 billion for the military was just approved by both parties. You know what, Jim? In about 15 minutes, I had this guy thinking and asking questions he's never asked before. And he wasn't a young man. He was at least in his 50s.
Good for you.
But he thought he was so sure of what he knew. And I said, listen, I'm just a few years younger than Trump. I grew up in New York when Trump was coming up. I said everybody in New York knew he was a con man and a criminal. And when I talked to him about Trump's divorce from Ivana, because if you haven't read those divorce papers, Jim, you really need to. I said, this is the kind of man, I said, that we have for president.
I'm sure they're a revelation, because wives know dirt on their husbands.
Oh, my God. It's like a horror story reading what he did to her. And, you know, what I find, because people seem to be, because we're so divided now, people are afraid to talk to each other. The day before, at the very same gym, I started talking to this lady on the bicycle next to me. And she says she's moved here from Texas to get away from that craziness, but she thought this town was just as crazy, and she and her husband were thinking of moving. And we got into a conversation while we were 45 minutes. Imagine being 45 minutes in conversation with me on a bike, Jim. And for the 45 minutes, this woman was almost crying with happiness that she met somebody she considers normal. And she was like, I can't wait to introduce you to my husband, because my husband gets infuriated every time he even looks at Trump now. So the thing is, because people keep saying to me, you know, you can't talk to these people. Well, that's wrong. You can talk to these people. It's how you talk to them that matters. And I say, first you got to find common ground. If you're in the gym, you already have common ground. If the news is on the TV, man, there's your segue. But you also want to talk to them like a person, because they are a person. And it's like I said to this man after we were talking for about 20 minutes. I said, how is it you and I, you're a staunch Trump fan. I told you I detest Trump. And yet we were able to have a civil discourse on this. Why is that? You know, and
well, because you are both sufficiently open-minded to engage dealing with some of the information at your disposal in a rational fashion.
Right. I mean, all you have to say is, are you happy where America is now? You know, if you assume people grew up in the 50s or the 60s, even the 70s, this guy said the 70s was his big decade. You can't justify that this is the same country. You can't even come to that conclusion in your mind.
Yeah.
But you know me, I'll talk to everybody and anybody everywhere, even the lady packing my groceries.
I am the same way, Maria, over the air. I'll go on any show. I just guest hosted for a fundamentalist minister who asked me to sit in for him two nights in a row. I think his audience may have been a bit floored because I spent the first night talking about 9/11 and the second about JFK, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Charlottesville. Mm. I got to find out what kind of feedback I meant to have the second hour.
In a fundamentalist church, I always say it's 10% fun and 90% mental.
I respect everyone, so, you know, I got to find out how it went down. I'll be very interested, but I'm sure they never heard this kind of...
Well, listen, you did a great job on it. Was it RT, those videos you sent me this morning?
This is actually a show on GCN.
Oh, okay, because you did a great job talking about Iran. And, I mean, you know, we can go back. I mean, I do want to say this about Trump before we go any further. Trump almost broke up you and I, okay? And we've been friends and worked together for what? Almost 20 years, Jim.
He's
breaking up the rest of the country. I mean, I have never seen such a divisive person in my life.
Well,
I never gave up on you. You never gave up on me, even when you kind of put the show on hiatus for a month or two. We were going back and forth. But my mind is like, I'll be damned if I'm going to lose my friend over this idiot.
Yeah. I'm with you. Well, my wife and I have had the most intense arguments of our marriage now over, what, 40 years, Maria. We were married in 1977.
Wow.
And we've had the most intense arguments of our entire marriage over Trump. And since the election and all this stuff about Russian hacking, I mean, we know from the two investigative journalists who followed the Clinton campaign that Robbie Mook and John Podesta made up the Russian hacking meme within 24 hours of Hillary's concession speech in order to explain away the miserable campaign they'd run and divert attention from the contents of the WikiLeaks revelations, which led directly to John Podesta and Pizzagate. We've had confirmation from the veteran intelligence professionals for sanity, including such stalwarts as Ray McGovern and Bill Benny, who have confirmed that the emails that were found on the internet were leaked directly from the DNC server at a rate that would have been impossible for distant hacking, and it was done in the Eastern time zone, where it was then dressed up with some Russian prop in the background to make it look as though it had Russian sources. And we know from Julian Assange and Craig Murray, who was the intermediary, where Seth Rich, the IT guy for the DNC, who was a Bernie Sanders supporter, appears to have become so disillusioned with the sabotaging of Bernie's campaign that he leaked this email treasure trove to Julian Assange by way of Craig Murray, who's an intelligence analyst, the head of a college, and the UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, where both he and Julian Assange have asserted on numerous occasions they know the leaker, he was not Russian, that Russia had nothing to do with it, but where Seth Rich alas paid for it with his life.
Well, what do you think about Facebook handing over 3,000 ads that were paid by a Russian organization?
Well, apparently multiple. I mean, the deal is that...
I don't find it far-fetched. I mean, look what happens to me. You know what I'm saying? I post something against Israel or against Russia, or even just yesterday, putting that I was in solidarity with the NFL. First of all, I have no use for football. Never won't even pay attention. Couldn't tell you the name of a team. And yet I have to stand with those players. And when I posted that, somebody accused me of being a self-loathing white person.
Well, Look, you just put your finger on the why you're being attacked. It's a Zionist. I don't think this has anything to do with Russia, but it has to do with Israel. The fact is that Robert Mueller's investigation is grasping after straws. They have nothing to show for it. They're going after Paul Manafort for business dealings he had before he even joined the Trump campaign. It's that bad.
No, Manafort's thinking about moving out of the country.
They'll try to get a fig leaf. Apparently Netanyahu met with Mark Zuckerberg. You were, I believe, informing me of this fact, of which I was previously unaware. But this is all going to amount to nothing. I mean, you know, Russian companies want to advertise their products. My wife is watching MSNBC just now, or it may have been CNN, and they were talking about how sophisticated the Russians must be to target their audiences. Well, this is because we're talking about business. We're talking about consumers. We're doing about, you know, pitching commercials to targeted audiences that have nothing to do with politics. But they're going to try to spin it that way so they can claim they have evidence of Russian interference when there was none. There was none, zip, zero, nada, zilch. I mean, I'm telling you, this whole Russian thing is most disgusting because we've had to endure 8 months, 24/7, and nothing but complete rubbish. Nonsense.
All right, but you and I are going to, once again, we'll postpone that because I don't agree. And that's okay. I'm just not going to agree right now. So we'll postpone this for a few months and see what happens.
I've probably done 50 shows reporting on the phony Russian hacking, Maria. So, you know, I think that you will eventually come around to my view.
Well, one way or the other. You know what? Until we see Trump's tax returns, we will never have that answer. It's kind of like 9/11. And that's another little tidbit I wanted to talk to you about. Is the CIA that happened to lose the files on Lee Harvey Oswald when they're supposed to release all that information on JFK next month?
Oh, of course. Well,
do you really believe they lost that information?
No, of course not. I mean, they shouldn't insult us with such stupid stories. But the fact is, Oswald was recruited by the Office of Naval Intelligence when he was a recruit at the recruit depot in San Diego. I, as a Marine Corps officer, served as a series commander where I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command going through the training cycle at the same recruit depot, same rifle range, Edson Range, Camp Pendleton. Oswald was a mediocre shot. He qualified in 57 with a 212, which is reasonable. I fired a 212 before myself. But the next year, he didn't even turn out to qualify, which is ridiculous. There's a standing order that every Marine, from the lowest ranking private to the commandant of the Marine Corps, must qualify with a rifle every year. Uh-huh. That tells me he was on a special assignment, I believe, Monterey, where they have these sophisticated language training, learning Russian. The next year, 1959, he barely qualified with a 191, and that was probably a gift to him.
Right.
It meant he got lots of Maggie's drawers, which means he couldn't even hit the target, Maria. And there's no evidence whatsoever that he ever practiced marksmanship after he left the Marine Corps. He was just to show how clearly they understood he was on the side of the United States government. Mm-hmm. He was stationed at Atsugi, which is our most highly classified base in Japan, the source of U-2 overflights. He even contracted a venereal disease, which in the Marine Corps would be, a reprehensible offense, but it was written off as in the line of duty, meaning he was doing some kind of undercover work that involved engaging in sex with prostitutes, I presume. He did a pseudo-defection at the request of the CIA to the Soviet Union because he'd been a radar operator. He apparently was designated to go to inform them of the altitude at which the U-2 overflights were taking place. The Soviets knew they were happening but didn't know the altitude, couldn't shoot them down. So here's this gift, Lee Oswald, and he arrives in time for one of the planes to be actually taken out of the air. There are two different accounts of how it was done, to which I shall return. But Khrushchev, this is on the eve of a summit that's intended to reduce Cold War tensions. Khrushchev asserts that the United States is spying on the Soviet Union. Eisenhower denies it. Khrushchev is able to produce the pilot Francis Gary Powers and parts of the plane, the U-2, great to the humiliation of the United States. Mm-hmm. The summit meeting is aborted. Instead of reducing Cold War tensions, they are increased. Ask yourself who benefits from that, the CIA and the military industrial complex. Lee marries the daughter of a the niece of a KGB colonel, returns to the United States. He's not treated as a traitor. Instead, he's met by a CIA front company that gives him money to relocate. He winds up in New Orleans, she in Dallas. In New Orleans, he's working with the right wing there, people who are associated with the FBI and the CIA. They are giving him a new persona as a pro-Castro communist sympathizer. Unbeknownst to him, he's being set up to take the role of a patsy in Dallas. He gets a job there just weeks before, arranged by the woman with whom his wife is staying, who just happens to have connections. So he goes to work at the book depository in time to be there when they change the motorcade and bring the president, the target, right before him. He's actually standing in the doorway of the book depository when the shooting takes place, Maria. Mm-hmm. This is the darkest secret of the assassination.
Right. Well, but don't you think the reason they lost those files is because the CIA dropped the ball and was part of it and doesn't want people to know? Aren't they protecting Angleton and the Dulles brothers?
Oh, they're protecting the whole op. Absolutely, 100%. In fact, Wagoner Carr, it was then the Attorney General of Texas, launched his own investigation and immediately turned up information that Oswald was an informant for the FBI, that he had informant number 179, that he was being paid $200 a month right up to the time of the assassination, which explains the peculiar anomaly that the government insists it's unable to locate the W-2 forms for the alleged assassin of the President of the United States, which would, of course, have revealed that he was being paid. I've heard the rumor, which I haven't confirmed, that they've since created new W-2 forms. I mean, this is an area of specialization of the CIA that don't show what the original would have shown. The fact that they were missing in the beginning mm-hmm. is the tell. You know, the CIA, given enough time, can fake any document it wants.
Right. All right, so let's come back into 2017. In the world that ended up developing as a result of that assassination, when Trump spoke at the UN, some people say that was a crime because he was threatening genocide of an entire nation and should have been arrested at the UN. And what he said about the NFL is also a federal crime. Do you agree what he said at the UN was a crime? Okay, well, all right. Have you ever seen a president of the United States say that about another country at the UN? That's the second one.
Well, completely ridiculous. I mean, the UN Charter specifically rules out genocide. He's talking about annihilating a whole nation. That's absolutely unspeakable. A crime against humanity, a clear violation of the UN Charter. He's also talking about... he's condemning Syria and Iran as well as North Korea, and it just turns out they're on the Israeli hit list because North Korea provided technical assistance to Syria, to Iran, and to Egypt, which led the Israelis to kill 10 North Korean scientist technicians during an attack on an alleged Syrian nuclear reactor in 2007. But bear in mind that the UN Charter only specifies two conditions under which one nation may attack another, namely with the approval of the Security Council, obviously not here, and the other if it faces an imminent threat. And while there's a lot of talk about these North Korean missiles and testing of nuclear weapons, in fact, the U.S. has lasers mounted in space that can take out any missile fired by North Korea toward the United States. I'm convinced we've already taken out several on the launching pad in order to embarrass North Korea. So that the whole thing is an exaggeration. And did I mention already, Maria, that North Korea offered to abandon its pursuit of ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons, which was immediately rejected? But not only now by the Trump administration, but in the past by the Obama. So,
Let me ask you this. If you were Kim Jong, And you see how Trump is trying his best to unravel the deal with Iran. Why would you trust Trump to make a deal with you?
Well, that's one of the most damaging aspects of Trump's attempt to undo the Iran deal. I mean, we know Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons. They gave that up in 2003. They'd only been on that track because they were concerned that Saddam Hussein might be developing nukes, and they were doing it in self-protection. Given that Saddam was taken out, they no longer pursued it. Our own intel agencies concluded that in 2007, repeated it in 2011. Even the Mossad, Maria, came aboard in 2012 that Iran was not pursuing nukes. Just 3 weeks before Bibi Netanyahu went to the UN and asserted precisely the opposite.
Right. Well, you see him openly pushing Trump against Iran. I mean, this week they posted the fake video that Iran had fired off a missile. They had to admit today that it was a fake video and it never happened. So I see the Gulf of Tonkin being pushed on Iran every so often. You know, any excuse will do. You know, let's make up a sexy dossier and find some reason to hit Iran for Israel.
Anyone who's paying the least attention understands the problem in the world is not North Korea. It's not Iran. It's not Syria. It is Israel, which is absolutely trying to manipulate events on the world stage, and I am convinced even attempting to precipitate war between the United States and Russia, which would be, of course, calamitous, catastrophic, engage, you know, bring about the deaths of tens of millions, 40, 50 million. I mean, it would be catastrophic, but Israel would be happy. Bibi was in the UN beaming when Trump was going after North Korea and savaging Iran and Syria as well. I mean, for God's sake, Maria, Syria is a sovereign nation. How can Trump talk about respecting the sovereignty of nations when he's talking about decimating one, North Korea on the one hand, and we're trying to take out the democratically elected president of another in Syria? Mm. I mean, Assad is more popular with the Syrian people than Trump is with the American.
Right. I agree. So let's go back to the NFL. Here's Trump. First of all, I got to tell you, never saw a president who spent so much time talking about football. That's number one. Number two, never heard a president call anybody sons of bitches. That's two. And then you need to fire them, interfering in a private business, telling a private business what to do. I mean, I got to tell you that if this guy's not mentally unbalanced, he's a very shrewd operator trying to cover up something he doesn't want anybody else to know.
I love the response of Colin Kaepernick's mother, who said, well, that must make me one proud bitch.
Right. I mean, listen, this guy,
really?
I know. I don't remember which late night host said that she was the coolest mom in all of football. I know if somebody said that about my kids, they'd be going down, okay? They'd be like nonstop. If he wants to look at sons of bitches, he needs to look at himself and his kids. And, you know, with all this hoopla, because believe me, you and I'm sure you were as sick of hearing about Hillary's emails as I was. Not to say she didn't do it, because I never said that. But now six people in Trump's administration, including Ivanka and Jared, have been nailed for the same thing. Private email for government business. So how come nobody's saying, lock them up? They all do the same thing. Listen, if Hillary won, I'm sure we'd still be having the same kind of conversation about what, you know, what her administration's doing.
Yeah, but I'm very confident if you examine the content. Hillary was talking about serious issues, corruption, taking money for the Clinton Foundation, bringing about wars, slaughtering Libya. You're not going to find anything like that in Jared Kushner or Ivanka's
emails. Well, you never know. You never know, because nobody shows us anything. It's like the CIA losing the papers on Kennedy. God, that was 60 years ago. We still don't have any proof on 9/11. We probably never will. You know, I already told my grandchildren, maybe when you're old, they'll reveal something. I said, just say it out loud in case my ghost can hear you.
My personal opinion is that Trump's lambasting the NFL is the greatest blunder ever committed by a president in my lifetime.
Well, yeah.
It turns out his recent remarks suggesting NFL team owners should fire players who kneel during the national anthem is a federal crime. 18 U.S. Code 227 stipulates that any federal employee, member of Congress, or member of the executive branch is forbidden from using their position within the federal government to influence the employment decisions of a private business solely on the basis of partisan political affiliation. The penalty for doing so could result in fines and incarceration of up to 15 years, and anyone who is found guilty of violating that law could even be disqualified from holding office. I mean, this was a colossal blunder, a colossal blunder.
But here he is. He broke a law, but nothing happened. It's like he's untouchable. It's like John Gotti's brother, although I'm sure he has John Gotti penis envy.
Well, we'll see. This is only beginning to play out. There are going to be lawsuits. This is going to become a very big deal. It was
incredibly cheap.
But look at
I mean, the most sacred thing in this country to Americans seems to be football. It's not God. It's not their Bill of Rights or anything. He attacked their most sacred thing, football.
Well, you want to appreciate this. Football is a distraction from politics. There are some issues where every American is on a par, and that sports activities, entertainment, music, those are typically apolitical. And for Trump to politicize the NFL, he's even got LeBron James, the best player in the NBA, describing him as a bum. Now, that, any way you count it, is incredibly stupid. In fact, it's so stupid, I can't believe that Donald Trump could have done this. But there it is.
I know. It's like I can go walk away from my computer for an hour and come back to yet another shockaroo. You know, I feel like I have PTSD in the 8 months of this presidency. Anyway, Jim, let's take a short break. When we get back, I want to continue this because you sent me so much really good information. Stay with us, Jim, and I'll be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer, Professor Jim Fetzer. And since so much goes on in 1 month, I guess we would need a five-hour show to catch up, Jim. But let's take a look at, we had Irma, we had Harvey, we have Maria, we had Jose, Puerto Rico, antediluvian Puerto Rico underwater. And I had a story this morning that all Trump's talking about is the money Puerto Rico owes Wall Street. Of course, he didn't mention that his golf course there had gone bankrupt and he skipped out on several million dollars that the taxpayers got stuck with. And when you look at these storms, you know me, and now I'm at the point of who benefits. Many people have said nothing about these storms is normal. My sisters live in Florida. They've been there for 30 years. They said that Irma was the scariest, worst, unpredictable hurricane they had ever seen.
Well, I interviewed James McCanny, who's an expert on this weather manipulation, on my show, The Raw Deal, just a week ago. And he was laying out the evidence that these were manipulated, they were man-made, they were being directed. And he's had confirmation from other experts. For example, there's this Japanese Dr. Makayo Kaku, who admitted on, really explained on live TV that the reason hurricanes were man-made. We've got John Lear, our nation's most distinguished pilot, where pilots have to understand the nature of the weather. He wrote on a tweet, "I have no problem with people donating to those affected by Maria and Irma, but you should realize that the shadow government created and augmented and steered those hurricanes where they wanted them to go and will be paying for it with lives and cash. It's really a scam.
Right.
The question you raised about who benefits is the one that's troubling me. I mean, we had Texas under 50 inches of rain. I mean, it was an historic rainfall. Florida escaped massive damage, but Puerto Rico took it right on the face. So, I mean, this is devastating. Even all the vegetation has been eradicated from Puerto Rico.
Well, all their agriculture is gone, too.
Yeah,
that's the food.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the food supply. A lot of that got wiped out in Florida, too. Pretty much the whole citrus business. And I think about the movie by Michael Murphy, Why in the World Are They Spraying?, where he shows the predictive software that I've talked with Richard Grove about for years, and how Wall Street makes money on these weather-created events. So, you know, right before the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, as you remember, Puerto Rico had declared bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And the next thing, when the first hurricane hit, I told my audience, let's wait a few days and see who benefits. Well, true to form, a couple of days later, I got an article where we want to go in and privatize everything in Puerto Rico. Their electric, their water, everything else. And that's going to be the same thing I feel in Houston and Florida is, you know, the vultures are going to go in, just like they did after Katrina, and buy everything up 10 cents on the dollar. And kick the poor out.
What was the situation in Puerto Rico with regard to water, electricity, and other utilities? State-owned?
It was state-owned, but we were ready to go in and privatize their electricity. And now they're saying it may take months or decades to get Puerto Rico back because they have to rebuild the entire grid. So who's making the money?
We had the governor of Puerto Rico observing that they've been set back 2 decades, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
By this catastrophe, and to think that it was engineered, you know, geoengineered to benefit capitalists on Wall Street is about as repulsive as anything I can imagine related to the weather. Similarly, in Houston, we have some weird developments there where it looks like they're trying to get a lot of black families in particular who have lost their homes into FEMA camps. Or even into these floating prisons. FEMA brought down a couple of FEMA barges, and when you look inside, I mean, they're prisons.
Right.
And they're claiming you're going to get 3 squares and you're going to have a safe place to sleep and so forth. But that's the way it is when you're in jail.
What did they do, though? If you think about it, the first thing they did in Texas is if people wanted to get into a shelter, they pretty much strongly encouraged they get vaccinated. They also had told those people to write their names on their arms. And from some of the stories I've gotten, they said the inside of those FEMA shelters were worse than a concentration camp. So to me, it's like, well, what kind of vaccines are they trying to force on everybody? You know, and I always keep in mind the depopulation agenda, Jim.
Well, and we know well that the vaccines, you know, which include some heavy metals such as mercury and aluminum, induce autism. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I just noticed, and a friend observed, that this new television series called The Good Doctor is about a young man who becomes a physician, and he's quite gifted, and he's autistic. So they're trying to imply that autism is really a benefit, and that big pharma should be held responsible for turning an increasing proportion of the population autistic. I mean, this is shameless, Maria, absolutely shameless.
I know, and I think that when I was covering that at length, I think they had projected that by 2030 or 2050, that 1 out of 2 kids would be born autistic. 1 out of 2.
Well, they're not born autistic, but they turn autistic because of the vaccines. The communities where they avoid vaccination have virtually no autism whatsoever, Maria. It's really clearly totally related to the vaccination program.
Well,
and that's another case where you trump up a problem to provide a solution that makes a lot of money for Big Pharma.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Well, look at this healthcare bill that I'm sure will get shot down again. And what it doesn't cover. I mean, it's like not having health insurance at all. I mean, it's just like they have to get rid of Obamacare, and they don't really care about Americans. But Americans don't seem to get that.
Well, it appears that when the Congress took a recess, that they got a lot of static from their constituents about not repealing Obamacare. So they came back dedicated to trying it again, but they have had three defections, John McCain, Rand Paul, and Susan Collins. So it's dead, Maria. It's dead. There's no repeal of Obamacare.
What do you think about Trump attacking McCain? And listen, you know I'm no fan of McCain after spending 20-plus years in Arizona. But, I mean, to attack a guy that has brain cancer is pretty low.
Well, I do think that it's stunning that McCain, who was so aggressive in opposing Obamacare for years and years and years. I mean, this is true of the whole Republican Party for 7 years.
Right.
They've been campaigning about overthrowing Obamacare. And then when they get a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president, they can't do it.
Well, you would think that's the truth is, Jim, they had 7 years. You and I could have wrote a health bill in 7 years. They didn't write anything. They had nothing.
I think McCain did it out of personal spite that he's unhappy with Trump, who, after all, belittled him in the past politically during the campaign.
Right, said he wasn't a hero and blah, blah, blah.
Trump has a lot of political enemies, but you know, I think for McCain, it was an opportunity to get even. But it is shocking that you have a Republican Party that for 7 years has insisted their first act when they took control of the government would be to repeal Obamacare, and they have been unable to do it. That's stunning all by itself.
I know. But, you know, again, with these storms, I think there's storms predicted for this weekend for the East Coast, Cape Hatteras and Carolinas, whatnot. I don't even remember the name of it. It's almost like they're deliberately trying to wipe out America. And I go back to, I'm sure you remember Robert Galen Ross. I did so many shows with him back in the day on the American Union. And, you know, that plays into my head, too, because he said America will be destroyed from the inside out. That's what they want, and then we'll become the American Union.
Well, Maria, I'll tell you, the thought has crossed my mind. This appears to be the wanton destruction of the United States. They used artificial drought in Southern California to dry up the most fertile agricultural region in the United States. And, you know, this looks to me as though that actually is the agenda, to physically, literally destroy the United States.
I agree. And you see all these weird earthquakes in the United States in places that never had earthquakes. You know, maybe they're not giant earthquakes, but last week or the week before, Iowa, of all places, was having an earthquake every day.
Well, when you stop and think about it, the amount of resources, time, and effort required to rebuild is simply staggering, especially because, you know, many of these are old structures that were very solid when they were erected, and now that they're destroyed, it's going to be incredibly expensive and time-consuming to rebuild them. And how are, you know, getting organized to do it? It's true, it could give a lot of Americans employment. That might be the silver lining, but frankly, it's so devastating to the country, we may be unable to recover ever.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I have a client in Texas. He's a big-time contractor and builder, but he's in Austin. And I asked him this week when I was talking to him, I said, what's the situation in Houston? You know, are they getting, you know, are you finding that a lot of people are going down there, you know, contractors, builders, this and that? And the truth of the matter is, he said no one wants to go because the rest of Texas is booming because of all the people fleeing, and they're getting paid very well to keep overbuilding wherever they are. But he said no one wants to go down to Houston for many reasons to rebuild. And at the same time, if they're losing their immigrants, you're sending the Mexicans back, who's going to rebuild Houston?
Yeah, I know. I mean... Houston was like the armpit of America. I mean, it's really a decadent area. They even have flesh-eating bacteria in some of the water pools there that, you know,
imagine what they have now. Imagine what's floating through the water. But look at how fast Houston, Florida, those stories are gone. No one's covering the recovery or anything. It's like they never happened.
That's a very astute observation, Maria. Very often, What's most significant is what is not being reported as opposed to what is.
Exactly.
And the NFL deal seems to have been used as a giant fig leaf to conceal what really is going on of greater significance over the long run. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so fascinated by what's going on here. The politicalization of the NFL, the president overreaching, condemning actual players, being rebutted in return. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's fascinating. It's embarrassing. The question becomes, what really is going on behind the scene? We don't know. And I think you're astute in picking up on the recovery, the damage, and what we're going to do to rebuild America.
Well, you got to think back to Katrina. You know, they're already saying today, I saw several articles saying that Puerto Rico is Trump's Katrina. His attitude and what he's had to say today is disgusting, like pretty much everything that comes out of his mouth. He's more worried about Wall Street not getting paid by the Puerto Ricans than the, you know, like I said, he won't mention his bankrupted golf course and how many millions that stuck them for. There's no compassion. There's no compassion coming out of this man anytime he talks. He doesn't even fake it. At least Obama used to fake it. Remember when I said to you, wow, Obama was crying out of one eye. At least he got one eye to shed a crocodile tear. You know, normal people cry with two eyes. But he doesn't even fake it. And I don't understand how people can still be rah-rah, sis-boom-barring this guy, except for Alabama. You know what I mean? I can understand Alabama. It's the dumbest state in the union. But I can't understand anybody else.
Here's an email I got from a friend in Puerto Rico just earlier this morning. Uh-huh. I hope this goes through. You all must use all of your resources to denounce the humanitarian crisis now underway in Puerto Rico. Lack of a proper federal government response will cause thousands of deaths due to lack of diesel to run hospitals and old folks' homes. The heat is unbearable. No vegetation. It's all gone. The gas lines are a mile long. People are sleeping in these lines because vehicles are out of gas. Nowhere to go. All telecom and TV is gone. Where is Trump?
Exactly. So this is could be, pardon the pun on play on words, this could be his Waterloo.
Yeah, it's all very.
But you
very
know what? Trump. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, maybe Puerto Ricans aren't white enough for him to be concerned. Or maybe he doesn't realize that Puerto Rico is part of America and there's 3 million Americans living there.
And we're speaking of volcanoes. I just got a report, 50,000 evacuated from Bali as nation faces imminent volcanic eruption.
Well, look at Mexico, right? Look at Mexico. They had 3 earthquakes in 10 days, one worse than the next. At the same time, they had the storm and they had a volcano erupt at the same time that Mexico City got hit. It looks like the worst science fiction movies of all times is happening earthwide.
And I see a report, Trump's comments blaming Puerto Rico for its storm damage. I mean, give me a break. See, due to his golf course going bankrupt, just as you observed. This week, Trump's attacking the NFL was perhaps yet another deflection, but it may have come closer to Agent Orange's self-interest by omission. It now makes more sense that he seemed to avoid mentioning the storm damage emergency in Puerto Rico. Quite the opposite. Mentioning Puerto Rico tarnishes his brand. Rather, Puerto Rico is the site of another Trump business failure and does explain his tweets trashing the bank's infrastructure and territorial debt. It's always about him and his money. I wish I could rebut that, Maria, but that seems to me a little too close to the mark.
How do you rebut it? I mean, right now he's using his campaign treasure chest to pay for his attorneys. If this guy was so rich and everybody in his administration, I understand Mike Flynn is worth $7 million. Why has he got a GoFundMe page to raise money for his attorneys?
Yeah.
They want us to pay for their crimes coming and going. You know what I mean?
I personally thought Mike Flynn was an honorable man. He opposed the creation of ISIS, which was done in 2012. Hillary Clinton, John Brennan, Barack Obama. use the Defense Intelligence Agency, which Flynn then headed, to create ISIS. Judicial Watch has been able to obtain the documents under Freedom of Information request. But precisely because he opposed ISIS, John Brennan encouraged Barack Obama to fire Flynn, which is what he did. His offense for firing was that he opposed ISIS, Maria. You think about that, really.
Right. Well, I've always assumed... I've always assumed ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. You know, I had a report last week that Israel is basically the sponsor and creator of Daesh. And when their terrorists get hurt, in Syria, Israel takes them in and fixes them up in their hospitals.
That's right. Israel is giving emergency medical assistance to injured ISIS members. That's 100% correct.
Right, which is, really insane. And, let's face it, Bush's wars created most of these groups. And yet he's out there selling his books like nothing happened. And the same thing's going to just keep happening. These people all seem to be made out of Teflon.
Speaking of books, are you aware that Amazon deleted 1,500 negative reviews of Hillary's book? I mean, this is unreal. They're being so manipulative. The social media giants are being so manipulative, Maria, and undermining the public's confidence in their integrity. Because you might buy a product based upon the reviews. If you don't know, you might think Hillary's book is good.
I wouldn't buy it. I have no intention of buying it or reading it.
It's going to be a great failure. They're already selling a discount. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's a meaningless book.
Well, yesterday somebody coined the phrase social media fascism. And that's happening on all, Amazon, YouTube, Facebook, Google, doesn't matter. And I believe, like you do, that behind it all is Israel.
Because
they've been spying on us. Remember when Bill Moyers, what was it, in the 60s when he said Israel is legally spies on everything in the United States, records every phone call, et cetera, et cetera. That was an old report, maybe from the 1970s.
Yeah, and it's become immeasurably worse today.
Right. Now, I'm sure you saw that Valerie Plame had retweeted an article basically blaming Israel America's wars, et cetera, and that Israel really controls the country. She had shared someone else's article. Wasn't hers. And then she got a whole lot of flack for that, and then in a couple of days she apologized.
Yeah, well, I think she's put it back up, but the article is actually that American Jews are responsible. Not just Israel, but American Jews, and it's got a picture of Bill Kristol right on the cover, right in the top of the article.
Well, and I mean, the article mentions, look how many Jews are in Trump's cabinet. It's a Goldman Sachs Jew festival. And I'm not saying they're Jews because they're religious, because I don't think any of them believe in their religion.
But the fact of the matter, it's easy to establish this as the case. A project for a new American century, which encouraged entry into these wars in the Middle East, is almost all composed of dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. I have a friend who's very astute about intel who says that Israel is very upset about this, because once you realize that the World Trade Center was nuked on 9/11, putting together Jews with nukes is a toxic combination, and Americans may suddenly have the revelation that Israel is not our ally, Israel is not our friend, Israel is an abuser that will use the United States for its own benefit, and then if it displeases Israel, they'll destroy us to the maximum extent it's within their capability. That may be what's going on right now.
Well, we only got a minute left, but I know it's a bomb to throw at you. But what do you think about the fact that the U.S. is now building a permanent military base in Israel?
Well, I think it's absurd. I mean, our own foreign policy guidelines preclude sending foreign aid to any nation that has undeclared weapons of mass destruction. Israel has a vast arsenal of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons it has never declared. We should not be sending a nickel to Israel. And building a permanent military base there is frankly absurd. Israel manipulated us into the wars. That's what 9/11 was all about. It was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense who'd come from the Project for a New American Century and the Mossad. It was an Israeli op. And there are many out there, Alan Sabrowski, Christopher Bolin, a host of others. There's a website, Israel Did 9/11, all the proof in the world. Check out my latest on 9/11, 2 hours, goes through in detail on the Brian Ruhe, R-U-H-E, website, 9/11, who was responsible and why. You'll see the, all the evidence laid out before your very eyes.
Well, there you have it, Jim. I think we squashed in as many topics as we could today, so I want to thank you for that.
Great pleasure, Maria. It's always a joy for me to join you in exposing these issues because the American people deserve to know what's happening to their own nation.
Absolutely. Well, you take good care. We'll talk soon, Jim.
You got it. Thanks, Maria.
Okay. Jim Fetzer. He just came around halfway. We'll wait on Russia and see. Who wants to flip a coin? Anyway, there you have it. Bernie Sanders, by the way, this week gave a speech, and he says we need to rethink our support of Israel since they basically are genocidal maniacs. But that didn't get much coverage in the news, and that's coming from a Jew. Anyway, tomorrow, hell and high water with myself, Chuck Ocelli. You're going to want to stay tuned. I want to thank you all for supporting the show. Send some positive thoughts for protection for me, since I'm under attack on every platform there seems to be on the internet. Grandma's a big threat, but yeah, nobody puts baby in the corner. Anyway, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.